was heard from far away. Their voices rang with songs of joy, like children at their play. He saw Rahab, he saw David, Mary Magdalene and Paul, and the thief who died by Jesus was the one who led them all. Who are these? He almost shouted at the angels.
About the warrior before. I like that. And very good. I missed Titus there a while ago. I didn't want to leave him out, but I mentioned my mighty man. And I didn't know where you went, Titus. I see you now. So. And Aiden, well, the prophet's always over there. So. Listen, everybody don't have a prophet that runs with them. We got a, anytime we're together, we got a prophet, all right? All right. And Wyatt's back there, too, so. All right. Don't want to forget him. I'm just expecting a lot out of you. That's why I want to remind you, okay? All right. Everybody all right? All right. If you'll let me, I want to challenge you tonight. And I want you to think just a little bit and see what you desire. We just had revival. And I want you to continue on. I want to continue on. And I want to preach part two from this morning. I wasn't going to, but Teddy stirred me a little bit when we left. He stopped me and said, where do we go from here, preacher? Just where do we go? He was wanting more. That's what he was trying to tell me. He wanted more. I said, well, we're going to have to go to higher ground. Well, I couldn't get it out of my mind. So we tried to discuss with the Lord a little bit and see what he would have us. So we're going to look at that tonight. We're going to do part two of Where Do We Go From Here Since Revival. Is everybody all right? All right, let's pray together, can we? Father, I come. You're so wonderful to us. Thank you so much for the singing all week long, every evening before church and during church and the congregation. And then today, you've warmed our heart with these young ladies that sang today. And tonight, boy, I'm so glad I get to go in. Thank you that you still save sinners. And Lord, I understand what Paul said when he said, I'm chief. Lord, I look at me and I see I'm a wretch. And I thank you for saving me. But I am not what I was. I know I'm not what I'm going to be yet, but I'm not what I was. And I ask you, Lord, to help me to grow daily. Now, Lord, I can't do nothing without you. I trust you tonight. I ask you to speak to my heart. Use me as you see fit. Preach me as you want me to preach. And may you speak to everyone tonight as we give the challenge that you've given me. Lord, I pray tonight that it'll be accepted and that it'll be desired, then accepted. And then, Lord, we know you'll do the rest. Thank you. I praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. We sing a song pretty often. And I want you to open your songbook to page 344 and hold it there. Because we're going to look at it there in a minute. All right, get your songbook here and look at it. But before we go there, I want us to look at a couple of scriptures. We're gonna rest. The last scripture we're gonna look at is in Exodus 34. But I want you to look at a couple before we get there. Now, if we're gonna go on, where do we go from here? Well, the only place to go is forward. Can you agree to that? But we don't just want to go forward. We want to find the high ground. We want to find the high ground. And there's benefits of the high ground. Let's look at Psalms chapter 18 just for a verse right quick. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 33. It says, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my what? High places. He setteth me upon my high places. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. Now, like a deer, like them sure-footed animals. You know, I watched a video here a while back on a mountain goat, and they went right up the side of a wall. I watched them on the cliffs. That was good, but they went up the side of a dam, and they was walking on the cement joints. And they went right up beside of it. Now, how in the world that they could stand on a cement joint, three-quarters ledge, and go out. And they didn't just hang there. I mean, they went flying up it. I mean, there's a whole herd of them. And it says here, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. There's something about this high ground. This higher place. Look at Psalm 61. Psalms 61. Now you follow me tonight. It won't be much, but it's going to be a challenge, Joe. Psalm 61. Let's look here at verse 1. It says, Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, look what it says now. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. Now we're talking about higher ground, high places. All right, now there's a lot of high places mentioned in the Bible that has to do with idolatry. But there's some high places that's for us. And then high places are with the Lord. It says, From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Now, we're going to have some problems, and we're going to have to just trust the Lord, but we're going to have to make sure we go on, go for that high ground, and we'll show you why here in just a minute. Now, turn to Habakkuk, all right? You say, where in the world? That's them books you can't never find. Go, it's Jonah, Micah, Nahum, and then Habakkuk, all right? Jonah, everybody all right? Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Sing the song, Cheryl. All right. Look at Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. And let's look at that. Now, this is a prayer here, the end of a prayer. But I want you to look at what it says. It says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Can we go ahead and say amen there? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Can we say amen right there? The Lord God is my strength. How about amen there?
Amen.
And he will make my feet like hinds' feet. There we go again. Sure-footed. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer on my string instruments. We're talking about high ground. High places. Higher ground. That's what we want to look at tonight. Higher ground. Now get your stone book out. Put your songbook here on page 344. Higher ground. All right. Now we sing this, and it's an old song. And there, a long time ago, we sung it to death, and everybody got bored with it. Oh, higher ground again. It seemed like we sung it every Sunday. Remember when we sung it there? It seemed like we sang it every Sunday. Well, there's a reason for that. All right. But I want you to read where we're not going to look at the chorus yet. I want you to look at the verses, because I want you to. If you ought to pay attention to what we sing.
Right. Yeah.
It said, I'm pressing on the what? What's the next line say? See, now, we don't look for low ground.
Right.
We need high ground.
Yeah.
All right? Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Verse 2 says, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Now that's honest. That ought to be all of our desire. Nobody wants to stay down the dumps, do you? All right. Though some may dwell where these abound. All right. Though some choose to dwell there.
Right.
But my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Look at verse 3. I want to live where? Above the world. Though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Now look at verse 4 now. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on the higher ground. And it says, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Now, I want us to think about that, and it's not just words that we sing. We got scripture that encourages us to seek the high places, to let the Lord make our feet like hinds' feet. It's going to be secure in the high place as we walk there, tread there, and then we need to look for that high place. Now, before we go any further in scripture, I want you to listen. I've done something just to see. I typed in on my computer military, the reason, if you would, for military high places. Now, I was always taught that. I thought that Tina Schaefer's been coming, her husband Russ. Years ago, we run together pretty tight. And he came up of the evening, and Paul Jean, Cheryl's daddy, we was cleaning some brush out, and we get him down there. It was on a bank, and we'd wrestle, and we'd just horseplay. Well, me and Russ would stay up on the high ground. Uncle Paul was a big man then. He was a bigger man than what he was when y'all remember him. Stout as a mule. And we'd wrestle him, and we'd get him down there in the dark. And we'd stay on the high ground, and me and Russ would whoop him. Well, we would waller him pretty good. Finally, you know how he would talk, now, boys, y'all come up here tomorrow evening. We'll get up there on the... up there in the yard. Well, of course, just soon Russ got home, I got home, here he come. We got out there in the yard, and he wore us out. I mean, wore us out. We got him down, and I held one arm, and he held the other, and he got him tickled, and he couldn't do nothing. And then he finally said, "No, boys, I'm coming out of here." And up in there we went, and he just wore us out, all right? Now, we had an advantage when we was on the high ground. But when we got on level ground, we was no match for that bald-headed devil. That's what Philip always called him, was a bald-headed devil. And that's the same way you're no match on the same level, on the same level playing ground as our enemy tonight. I'm not either. But if I can seek that high ground, then I can get an advantage. Now that's the military wants to do that. Now listen just a minute here. High ground is easier to defend because it provides an advantage in both defense and offense. Now listen to me. From a defensive standpoint, you're able to see your enemy approach. Now listen to me. We want high ground. We want to be able to see the enemy approaching. The wiles of the devil will get us if we're not careful. And we need to be careful. He'll take an advantage of us. And we know his devices. All right? Now from a defensive standpoint, you'll see the enemy approach. And you can perform, I like this, that you can perform overhead attacks easier. And the sun can be used to blind your enemy from that position. And I thought, well, ain't that good? The sun, S-O-N. Now, I'm not worried about the issue, and I'm worried about the sun can help me blind. He'll blind the enemy and help me in victory. Now, it says here, if you're compound. Now, that means if you're home base, all right? If your home base is on high ground, the enemy doesn't have the line of sight to your compound. If you're on the high ground, the enemy don't have the same line of sight. We okay? Think about that. Now, it gave me three things. I thought these three things was good. And then we'll get right into the scripture here in Exodus. But says it starts with, it gives you enhanced visibility. All right, listen to me. Being on higher ground offers a wider field of view, allowing you to see the enemy's movements. Enhanced visibility allows for better scouting and early warnings of approaching enemy battles. If you want to live in victory, we're all the time wondering, I'm so aggravated, I've stayed defeated. Well, then get off the level ground and seek the higher ground. Where do we go from here? Let's go to higher ground. I challenge you to press forward to higher ground. There's a reason these songs are sung and reason these scriptures are here for these high places that we can do that, all right? And then it says not only with enhanced visibility and observation, but the defensive advantages, all right? It's easier to defend higher ground than it is low ground. It's just easier. And then it says something that we need tonight. There's a psychological impact if you have the high ground. Now listen to me. Holding the high ground will instill a sense of confidence and security in the troops. Did you hear me? If you'll seek that high ground, get that high ground, you'll have confidence and it'll bring you security. It brings the church together. We need the high ground. We need the high ground. It'll boost morale, and it'll make you more resilient when adversity comes. The high ground. The high ground. Think about that. So I thought that was interesting, and that's on a military standpoint. All right? But now let's look here in Exodus chapter 34. I'll give you a few things and let you go home. Exodus chapter 34, and I'm going to read down. I'll read down through verse 17. We'll go back and look at a couple of things. All right? Everybody there?
Yeah.
Exodus 34. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. Be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into the Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tablets of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, to the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste, bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. For thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten God. And we'll stop right there. We could go on, but we'll stop right there. I'm going to give you some thoughts tonight about this higher ground. Are you with me so far? We want this higher ground. We got to seek this higher ground. And I'm going to show you some benefits, if we could at all, or the blessings. Maybe that'd be the title, not just part two of where we go here, but the blessings of the higher ground. The blessings of the higher ground. Now let's look at it here. Let's start here. Let's look back in verse 2. Now God and Moses and who we're talking about here. Is everybody all right? Can I tell you that God may deal with us in a sense of blessing a church, but he works with individuals. He saves you. He saves me. I have a relationship. You have a relationship. Everybody follow me still? And it's important that I seek it. Now, I want you to seek it, but I don't want you to seek it and me not. I want the higher ground. I want you to have the higher ground. I want to have this higher ground together. So look at verse 2. It says, And be ready in the morning, and come where? Come up. Come up in the morning into Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me, whereat in the top of the mount. Can I tell you to start with, it's going to have to be a place of personal devotion. The blessing of higher ground is going to bring some personal devotion between us and the Lord. An individual, I'm going to meet with the Lord.
Yes.
And now it says here I can start good in the morning if I do. That'd be a good way to start your day, is to seek in higher ground in the morning.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I know everybody ain't morning people. I know that. Some people's morning starts at 3 o'clock. Some every hour later. Some morning don't start till noon. Some don't even get started. All right? Some just kind of fumble through the day. All right? There's no start. There's no end time. All right? And but can I tell you, if we'll start our day seeking higher ground. Well, let me ask you a question. Is there a set time that you battle? Yeah, you know, like 2 o'clock. I never fight the devil till 2. No, I mean you don't know that. You don't know when the battle's going to be. Can I tell you? We need high ground all day, every day. All right, and to start with is for that personal devotion. Now God called Moses up on the mountain to fellowship with Him. Well, we ought to start our day with fellowship. Where do we go from here, Teddy? We go. For higher ground. That's where we go. We just had revival. Let's go for higher ground. Let's go that I can fellowship with Him. See, now, we're not going to have church tomorrow night. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Go back to the world? No, we go to higher ground so we can fellowship with the Lord all day tomorrow. We can be busy sitting in a swing or be busy working in the garden, cutting grass, eating weeds. It don't matter. Right? Whatever we want to do. But we can fellowship with the Lord. Some of you's going to drive a truck. Some of you's going to put in air conditioning. Some of you's going to build a deck. Some of you's going to work on trucks. Some of you's going to herd cattle. Some of you's going to drive a tractor. Some of you's going to dig water lines. Some of you's going to stir in the sewer. There's all kinds of things. Some of you's going to dig coal. Some of you's going to wire houses. All kinds of things going to happen. But you can fellowship with the Lord all the time, but you're going to have to get on the higher ground. Now, will He come low where you're at? Yes, He will. He'll come low where you're at, but He would rather you to come up where He's at on the high ground. Now, He could have met Moses wherever He wanted to. He said, Moses, come up where I'm at in the morning. All right? So let's seek some higher ground. How about that? We okay? Now, not only is it a place of personal devotion, all right? Let's look here. Let's drop down to verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, this is the Lord doing this. You see that, don't you? It ain't Moses. It says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord. All right? And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy, forgiving. What are you doing? He said, you're up here with me. I'm going to reveal who I am to you. I'm forgiving iniquity, transgressions, and sin. Huh? That's me. Can I tell you? You can have personal devotion and you can have a place of personal revelation. God is not wanting to hide Himself from us. God wants to show Himself to us. That's why we have a Bible. The Bible shows us God. Think about that. He shows us God. He wants us to see who He is. Now, look what it says. The Lord, verse 6, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. Man, that ought to encourage everybody. Seek at higher ground. Let Him reveal who He is, what He does. Well, He's a pretty good God, I think. Well, I keep reading, I find Him to be a pretty good God. What do y'all think? Huh? A couple of you do. Huh? We okay? Let's drop down to verse 8. Look what it causes. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth. And what did he do? He worshipped. Worship is not flesh. Worship is spirit. You understand? It's not the position of your body. Now, Moses fell down on the earth. Well, let me tell you something. You come in that close contact with the Lord, you're going to bow down. There's no doubt about that. All right? But can I tell you, when we have that personal devotion, and then we have that personal revelation, then there's not going to have no problem having personal worship. And can I tell you, everybody look this way. If you'll start worshiping at home, it'll be a whole lot easier to worship at the church house. Huh? Now, I'm not going to say you don't, but I'm going to tell you on the average, we don't. On the average, we wait till Sunday morning to worship. We'll wait till Sunday evening to worship. We'll wait till Wednesday to maybe worship a little bit. But as far as we go, well, I got to study. Okay, we'll study. That's not worship. Well, I need to pray. Well, go ahead and pray, but ask Him for all you want to, but that's not worship. Worship is when He reveals Himself to you, who He is, and in awe, in great awe and loving adoration, you bow down and have that glorious fellowship. Just you and Him. All right? Everybody still okay? So at higher ground, the blessing at higher ground, it's a place of personal devotion, a place of personal revelation. It's a place of personal worship. Let's look at verse 9. Look what it causes. Causes is every time we start getting to where we have devotion with the Lord and He starts showing us who He is and we kneel down to worship, it brings something every time and it brings personal repentance. Look at verse 9. You know, Moses bowed his head toward earth and worshiped, and he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it's a stiff-necked people. Yeah. And pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine. It'll bring personal repentance. We'll clean up. Yeah. Huh? We'll clean that. How do you repent? How do you repent? When you repent, when you get clean with God, what do? God, forgive me of all my sins. Huh? You know, I mean, that's a good way. But do you name them? Do you name them? When you ask God to cleanse you, what do you ask Him to cleanse you from? All right? Well, I got to study about it. Well, won't you just go ahead and go down the list? Yeah. Well, go down the list and ask Him to forgive you of any idolatry. Yeah. You know, there's more idolatry in the church house than they are at the beer joint. Because at the beer joint, there ain't worshiping but one God. Right. Yep. That's the devil. But in the church house, we got a lot of things we've done said in before the Lord. And anything we set before the Lord is idolatry. So do you when you repent, do you say, God, forgive me of my idolatry? When's the last time you asked Him to forgive you of your idolatry? We go right down the line. Idolatry, how about adultery? Lust. Desire, huh? Of what we've seen, what we've looked upon, what's passed us, and we didn't want it to pass us. And I mean, it's hard to shop. It's hard to go to the store because you can't see what you're wanting to get off the shelf for all the stuff you got to look at. The people that you got some people in pajamas, and then you got some people that ain't got nothing on. Yeah. Everybody understand? We know that. But how about the lust and the adultery and the covetousness and the gossip? Do you ever ask the Lord, God, forgive me? Forgive me of my gossip. Nobody likes gossip. Nobody. Nobody likes for something to be told on you, it ain't right. And he said, well, I don't gossip on lies, preacher. I always tell the truth when I gossip. Yeah. But do you repent that way? Do you repent of deceit? Where you didn't talk about somebody, but you kind of led like they was something wrong. Kind of insinuated that somebody wasn't doing right. Maybe you didn't talk about them, but you kind of leaned that way where somebody would think a little negative towards somebody. I'm asking, what caused us to repent? See, we'll never fully repent until we've had some personal devotion and personal revelation and some personal worship. Because then we'll see what we are. You understand? And we'll go to cleaning up. All right? Pride. Do we ever really repent of pride? God, forgive me my pride, and I'm proud I ask you. I mean, but we're eat up with pride. But we're taught pride from a baby. Look what you've done. Right? A little baby, they get their first spoonful and get it in their mouth. Oh, look what you've done. You fed yourself. You're great. And we start feeding them pride from the very moment they can do anything. And we eat them up with pride until they're uncontrollable us. Is that not true? But we don't say, God, forgive me my pride. We don't clean up that way. Huh? Forgive me. You know, go down through the six things that God hates. Do we go down the list? Do we go down the list of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through? Do we go down them lists? Do we look at the flesh there in Galatians 5 and ask God to forgive us anything? Do we ever ask God to forgive us for not being long-suffering? Do we ever ask God to forgive us for not being patient? Huh? We say, well, I'm never going to pray for patience. You don't have to. You already got it, but we just don't use it. Because if you're saved, it's the fruit of the Spirit, and the Spirit moves in, you got patience. But we don't use it. But I'm just talking about higher ground. We can't go back here. We're going to have to go to higher ground. High ground. All right? We still okay? Personal devotion, personal revelation, personal worship, personal repentance. Huh? And then we get to see. Don't want to dwell there long. We don't like that repentance. We have to hurry up and get out of there. All right? And let's look here at verse 10. And he said, Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. Look what he said. Before all thy people, what is he going to do? I'll do marvels. Such have not been done. Can I tell you tonight that there's big things happen when you seek at higher ground.
Yeah, right.
Big things will happen. Marvels that ain't nobody saw. Marvels, things that you're going to say, wow, look what he did.
Yeah. Right.
Then that's going to cause praise.
Yeah.
Huh? Then that's going to increase faith.
Right. Right.
And then that's going to improve witness.
Yeah.
And then that's going to encourage prayer. Can I tell you that the high ground brings so much with it?
Right.
And we need to seek in high ground. We still okay?
Yeah.
Signs and wonders. I still believe in signs and wonders myself. Now, I don't believe in signs like people do today. Now, they believe in signs. That's a sign that you ought to do this. And I'm talking about the signs of God, His might, His power, His glory. I still believe in the God of miracles. We heard that. What night was it? Friday night? Huh? He's still a God of miracles. I believe in miracles. Y'all believe in miracles? I'm serious. Do y'all believe in miracles?
Yeah.
I still believe in miracles. And it says, I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, For it is a terrible thing. Now, that don't mean it's an awful thing. It's such a mighty, miraculous, marvelous thing that you can't even understand it. Huh? I think sometimes that's why we've got over the wonder. There's a scripture there in the New Testament where it says, "And they wondered." When all the people saw the mighty works of Jesus, and they wondered. But we don't wonder much anymore. We've got over the wonder. Huh? But can I tell you tonight, He's still the God of miracles. All right. Now let's look on. Let's drop down to verse 11. Now 11 through 17 all runs together. So we're not going to read the whole verse or every verse again. But the first word in verse 11 says observe or obey. That's what it don't just mean just to look at it. Observe thou that which I've commanded thee this day. Observe what I obey. Observe. Look, listen to me. Do what I'm telling you now. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to drive out the enemy. The Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, take heed. Huh? Take heed. Then he tells them, if you don't take heed, you're going to make a covenant with the world. And before you know it, you're going to be, he said, to break down the images of the world, because before you know it, you're going to be yoking up with them. And then your daughters are going to marry their kids. And then your sons are going to go off, and your daughters are going to go off. You better listen to what I'm saying. Listen to me tonight. If we don't seek that high ground, if we don't desire the high ground, these things is going to rob the blessing. Are you hearing me tonight? Where do we go from here? Well, I'm wanting high ground. I'm wanting high ground. We still okay? So we got that personal obedience. All right, there in verse 11. We okay? Now there's challenges. There's some things that's going to... There's always a negative. There's always a positive. All right? There's no current unless you got both. You got to have a positive and a negative both. All right? It may get lonely. You seek the high ground, it may get lonely because... chances are everybody ain't going to accept the challenge. Because it gets tough. Now once you get up there, it ain't bad. Getting up there, though, might be a little struggle. Huh? Might make you scared. High ground might make you scared. I've heard people say they were scared of heights. Huh? You scared of heights? Huh? Can't be scared of where the Lord's at. All right? But there's another thing. There's a challenge with it. It's going to require a little work. You ain't just going to fall out of bed and roll uphill. All right? You don't roll uphill. Everybody understand that? You'll roll downhill, but you don't roll uphill. All right? It might be painful. Might be a little hurt in it. All right? Might be a little hurting, but we'll be able to enjoy the deep things of the Lord up on the mountain. Huh? You all right with that? Now, got some things here. Give you a couple of things real quick. Sherilyn, you get ready to go to piano. How do I get this high ground? Huh? Well, you need to look about seeking God's will. All right. You're gonna have to pray. You're gonna have to seek the Lord. All right. But you're gonna have to step out in faith. You're gonna have to start letting your Christian life be a life of faith. Everything don't have an answer. You're not gonna get an answer to everything. Now, we say there's an answer to everything in this Bible. It is. It is that the Lord wants to show us. He'll show us. All right? But faith ain't sight. He wants us to trust Him. I just talked to someone here not long ago. Somewhere We're going to have to step out and just go ahead and believe God. Where do we go from here? Does it get tough? Sure, it gets tough. Huh? But it don't lessen the Lord. All right? So we're going to have to seek God's will. We're going to have to practice some self-discipline. All right? We're going to have to practice some self-discipline. We're going to have to develop some things in us. We're going to have to get some character about us. Are you listening to me? And we're going to have to learn to resist some temptation. Years ago, I used to chew chewing tobacco. And I didn't just chew it, I ate it. I loved it. I loved the taste of it. I just loved it. And I chewed and faithful to church and chewed tobacco. And I didn't just chew it. I mean, I kept a chew in my mouth. Red man, my jaw was stuck out. Looked like I had a golf ball or a tennis ball in my jaw. And I'd chew a poker red man every day. And then I either mixed barbershop bubble gum or I mixed Hawkins snuff with it. And I kept a chewing. I chewed a poker red man every day and a can of Hawkins snuff every day. Every day. Well, God called me to preach. And I'll never forget, I went to church went to work on Monday morning, and Gene Coger, great Christian guy from over at the Bill Menifee's church in Oak Hill, he was my boss, and he said, "Mark, how'd church go yesterday?" I said, "Well, I surrendered to preach." "That's great. That's wonderful. When are you going to quit chewing?" And I said in my pride, "I ain't got nothing to do with it." He said, "Okay." He said, "Go back there. There's a man I work with named Wes Spear, and I've been trying to get saved." He said, "Go back there and spit between Wes's feet and tell him you're a preacher now." Well, that just made me so mad. And I walked off, and he never said another word. Every time I'd reach my hand in that poker red man, Gene Coger was 6'4", flat top haircut, black glasses. And every time I'd put my hand in that poker red man, I'd see Gene Coger's face. "When are you going to quit? When are you going to quit?" I'd get my can of snuff out. "When are you going to quit?" His face was in both of them. Every day, every day, every day, every day. Wearing me out. Every day, every day. Finally, I couldn't take no more. So I quit. Now, when I quit, I didn't have to go see a psychiatrist, or I didn't have to go get a patch or anything. I'll tell you how I quit. I went and bought a brand new poker red man. Stuck it in my pocket. I bought a brand new can of Hawkins snuff and stuck it in my pocket. And I carried it every day, but I wouldn't chew it. And I carried it until the red man pouch wore plumb through and the tobacco come out on its own. And when it done that, I gathered up and put it in the trash can. Now, the reason I'm telling you that, all right, is because somewhere we're going to put some self-discipline in some things. All right? Again, the temptations that come our way and the moral character that we're supposed to have as a Christian. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, you do what you want to do. You smoke, chew, do whatever you want to do. That's all your business. That ain't what I'm preaching about. That's another message. All right? I'm talking about the temptations that we have. See, it might be that bowl of sugar. It might be that chocolate bar, you know, that we don't have. It might be a diet pop, or, you know, we justify we don't drink regular, but we drink diet. You know. Yeah. It might be the Reese's cup. It might be the Oreo. You know. It might be the coffee pot. Huh? It might be. You say, well, none of that matters. No, none of that matters. It ain't going to matter if you know, Cheryl Ann, I don't tell this on you, Cheryl Ann, I give Bishop our dog treats all the time. She said, don't give him no more treats, but she'll go in there and get 5 Oreos. Well, why can't I give him 5 treats?
His treats are big.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, ain't nothing wrong with eating an Oreo. Ain't nothing wrong with drinking a pop. Ain't nothing wrong. And ain't what I'm saying. Somewhere we're going to have some self. For one at higher ground, we're going to have some self-discipline in the temptations that cause us to lose focus. Are you understanding? That's all I said that for. All right. When we seek at higher ground, we're going to have to learn to serve others. We're going to have to learn to serve others. That others' needs are more than ours. I believe that'll get us on at higher ground, Teddy. Where we go from here, huh? Let's seek God's will. What does God want? What does God want with me? Huh? Well, he said, won't you come up my place and be with me in the morning? Huh? Can I tell you? I can't tell you what the will of God is, but he'll tell you if you'll meet with him. You get up there and start meeting with him every morning, pretty soon you're going to be doing what he wants you to do. It'll just be right natural. Huh? Pretty soon you'll just go ahead and go to work like you need to work for him and do this, you know? You ever had that good guy on the job, but when he comes in and he don't sit down and wait for you to tell him to do, he just starts seeing the work? Ain't that a good employee? Huh? When he get on the job, let's go ahead and start getting busy. Yeah? I mean, that's when you know you got a good one. Huh? Maybe that's what the Lord wants. When we spend a little time, we already see, well, that needs done, and that needs done, and that needs done, and I can do it, and I'll just go ahead and do it. We okay with that? Huh? And then the last one, we'll quit with this. Cheryl, go to piano. How about we just go ahead and just follow the Lord's example? How about we just go ahead and do that? We follow the Lord's example. We might just see that higher ground pretty quick. Well, you laugh. Now, who wants that higher ground? That's the message. Now, you want it? You want it? Well, you ain't going to get it sitting by. Somewhere you're going to have to make a decision that you want some higher ground. Because there's blessing in the higher ground. Lord, lift me up. Let me stand. Huh? By faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane that I have found. Lord, just plant my feet on higher ground. Father, help us tonight. Where do we go from here? Higher ground. Looking for better things. And it's all about you. Help us, Lord. We can't do it by ourselves. We're going to have you. It's going to have to be faith. And then, Lord, you kick in when our faith steps out. And, Lord, you give us the strength. Lord, please help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Sing.